Following program sponsored by Straight Word Christian Ministries.
Here we go!
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Pastor Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Father, we just thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your compassion. We thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that the power of sin has been broken over our lives. We thank you for the shed blood of Christ that has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that the ransom has been paid, that we've been redeemed, that our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. And Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be our ally, to be our counselor today. Lord, we thank you, and Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we worship you because you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your healing power, your healing anointing being released to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for healing arthritis. God, I thank you for healing every form of arthritis in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I thank you for that swelling in that right ankle. Lord God, I thank you for that swelling going down as a result of hypertension and high blood pressure. We come against that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break the generational curse of hypertension and blood pressure. It is now broken in Jesus' mighty name. God, I thank you for healing shoulder pains, rotator cuffs. I thank you, Lord God, for releasing a healing power, your healing anointing. Lord God, those that have been suffering with shoulder pain in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing those that have been suffering with migraine headaches. God, I thank you for them being healed and made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more migraine headaches. No more. No more. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for healing ulcers, stomach ulcers. God, I thank you for complete and total healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing diabetes, type 1, type 2. God, I thank you for creating a new pancreas in those that have that pancreas just totally stopped working altogether. God, I thank you for that creative miracle taking place right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for doing it. God, I thank you for doing it. God, I thank you for healing liver cancer. Lord, I thank you for healing liver cancer. The person that was diagnosed with liver cancer, God, I thank you for healing them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, and I thank you for opening that barren womb. God, I thank you for these children being born healthy without defect in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you. And Lord God, I thank you for releasing that financial miracle, financial blessing and abundance upon your people. Lord God, those that are in need of a financial breakthrough, God, I thank you for bringing in the financial provision. I thank you for divine favor. I thank you for job promotions being granted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I thank you for the business opportunities being presented in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there would be an acceptance, that there would be an agreement in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, I thank you for that property being sold that is not sold, but I thank you for it being sold within the next 10 days. I thank you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for the wind of your Holy Spirit sweeping through this land, Lord God. I thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, convicting the hearts of those that don't know you and those that are in a backslidden condition that they might recommit their lives to you today. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord God, for sending your angels to tear down the strongholds of the enemy that he's erected in the hearts and the lives of the people. I thank you for knocking down the man-made structures that are hindering the movement of the flow of the Holy Spirit, that people might have liberty to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I thank you for releasing anointing of prayer and supplicating intercession over the body of Christ, that we will pray and intercede for the lost as never before, that we begin to pray and intercede for revival, Lord God, for a visitation of your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you, Lord God, for exposing the false teaching, the false theology that has been perpetrated on the body of Christ. And I ask that you would raise up ministers and preachers that will speak the truth, that will speak the full counsel of your word, that your word might be glorified in this land. in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the expansion of the radio ministry, God. I thank you for a national expansion. I thank you for the finances being there, Lord God, to underwrite it in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I thank you. And I give you praise and I give you glory and honor and precious in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. As always, it's just a blessing to be here to share the Word of God with you. We serve a mighty God, and I just thank God for the privilege. Amen. Every time I get to come in the studio and I say, Lord, you've given me another opportunity to share your Word with your people. To the first-time listeners, God bless you. I pray you'll be blessed. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. You know, I give you a chapter and verse because we got to get back to the Word of God, and we're in a series called The Only Standard, His Word. God is calling us back to Bible basics. God is calling us back to get back to reading the Word of God so that we can understand how God deals with His covenant people. Because we are living in the last days, we are living in very perilous times. The people of God need to pick up their Bibles and begin to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and see what saith the Scripture. Is extremely important that we in the body of Christ, that we get into the Old Testament and we study the Old Testament, and we can get a firm foundation understanding of who God the Father is. And it's throughout the Old Testament that you see how God deals with His covenant people. We see how much God loves His people. We see how God is a protector. God is a deliverer. God is a restorer. You know, and God is just. God is holy. And God desires for His people to walk in that place and be in a relationship with Him so that He could use them in these end time events. To bring in the harvest, because he's soon as his return is imminent. You know, when I say his return, he could come back at any time for his church. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture of the church, but you know what? It's going to happen whether you believe it or not, because there's coming a time period, the tribulation period, where God is going to deal, the final deal, dealing and judgment with the nation of Israel and dealing with the Gentile nations, and it's coming to pass. And so all of the events, all the things that we see taking place are prophetically the signs that are taking place that our redemption is drawing nigh. And so there should be an urgency, yes, in the body of Christ to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do, God? God, how can I serve you, God? Where do you want me to go? Lord, how do you want to use me in these end time events, in this end time hour? Lord, how can I be a blessing on my job? God, how can I minister to those on my job that don't know me? How can I minister to those that have family members that are not saved, that need to be saved? Lord, how can I be an effective witness? God, how can my lifestyle line up with the Word of God, that people hearts and conscience will be pricked to where they would have a desire to know who I am and to be in a covenant relationship with me? So we're in this series called His Only Standard His Word. We were in Exodus chapter 19 and we went into Exodus chapter 20, and we were talking about how it's extremely important that when God speaks, God's word says what he says, and how God revealed himself to the nation of Israel, how God came down and he spoke. He said, I'm going to make a point. I'm going to come down. He told Moses, I'm going to come down. I'm going to speak. I want the people to hear me speaking and talking to you. I'm going to talk to my people myself. And God came down and he showed himself. And it's so amazing. And I was telling you last week in the broadcast that when you go to worship, you're going to worship. People say, well, I'm going to service, I'm going to church. No, you're going to worship. And you are going to meet with God. And I want to get this into your spirit, that you get to the place where he says, I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to be in his presence. And if you're not in a place and you're fellowshipping at a church where the full counsel of God's word is not being preached and the presence of God is not there, then you need to pray and ask God to lead and guide you to the church and to the place to where his presence is manifested in a great and a mighty way, so that when you come to worship, your worship is received and you enter into praise and worship with him and you have an encounter with him. You see, because every time you go to church, you should come out changed. There should be a change in your thinking. There should be a change in your attitude. There should be something that falls off of you because you've had a divine encounter with God. And this is what happened in Exodus 19 when God came down and he met with the people, and the people were afraid. And then God spoke to them and he gave them the Ten Commandments. And God was establishing right away in Exodus chapter 20 that it's all about being in a relationship with him first and foremost. Because if your relationship with God is not right, you're going to have a problem relating to other people, and particularly the people of God. And it's extremely important that we understand these things. In Exodus 20, verse 1 says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house. God said, I want you to understand, no one else delivered you. Yes, Moses and Aaron was there, but this was by my power. God wanted them to understand. He wanted them to recognize that I am the source of your strength. I am the source of your healing. I am the source of your deliverance. I want your eyes to be on me continually. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God said, do not worship anything, any person, any institution more than me. It's idolatry. And as we were talking last week in verse 4, he said, you shall not make for yourself the carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And understand that we were talking about the generational curses that are in effect, because a lot of times, you know, we see and we wonder why, you know, why did this illness hit, or why did this child die, or why did this marriage break up, or why do you, you know, a lot of times our ancestors, even though we're believers and we're born again, our ancestors may have committed some type of trespass against God, and this generational curse has kicked in, and it's just the third and fourth generations. And then we see an outworking of these things happening in the lives of people when we look at all of the sickness and disease and all of the different infirmities. And, you know, it's just so amazing because there's just so much. And we don't want to talk about these things because we don't want to upset people. But when we look and see, oh, my God, these are plagues. These are curses that are operating, and we don't want to address it as such. Because it all started in the Garden of Eden when Adam when in the garden. And we're going to be talking about that. But realizing the very essence and the very fact that when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, get this, the Bible declares he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross, it covers everything. It break every curse, every power. But a lot of times it's still in effect. But we have to come to the knowledge and understanding, oh, this is what this is. I'm going to come against this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive what Jesus did for me on the cross at Calvary, and I break this curse of poverty. I break this curse of divorce. I break this curse of incest. I break this curse of alcoholism. I break this curse of addiction. I break the curse of suicide in my family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break it now. In Jesus' name. Oh, God. Are you still with me, saints? Third and fourth generations. And then he says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In other words, when you begin to swear oaths and things and said, oh, but God, I swear this. God, if you do this, God, I do that. You know, when you begin to take the name of the Lord in vain. And he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God, and you shall do no work. You nor your sons, nor your daughter, nor your male servants, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed. Understanding in Jewish culture, the Sabbath day was Saturday. And realizing that it was a day of rest, and when something, you know, when the Catholic Church came in and took over, they removed and they tried to divorce Christianity from the Jewishness of the faith. And so understanding that God says, give me one day out of the week. God says, you can work 6 days. You can work 6 days overtime, but I need one day out of the week. That's my day. That's the day that you rest. That's the day that you spend time with me, spend time in your word, spend time praising and worshiping, spend time with your family, spend time with your loved ones, and be replenished. And God says, I will bless you for doing so. And he says, remember the Sabbath day. He told him to keep it. And then in verse 12, now we see the first 11, we see all of this here is all dealing with the Lord and being in relationship with him, being consecrated to him. And then he goes into your family and being in relationship to others. He says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. God says, you know what? If you know, you have to honor your parents. You know, you might not have had good parents, might have had terrible parents, but God says you still have to honor them. And God will bless you for honoring your parents. And a lot of times, there are a lot of people out there, you're listening, you have issues with your dad, with your mom. You were rejected. You were abandoned. You were abused. You were embarrassed. We have these perceptions. And part of the problem with this honor, we have a problem honoring Father God because our natural earthly fathers were not there for us, or they might have mistreated us, they might have rejected us, they might have abandoned us. Some of you ladies have issues with your mothers. They were not good mothers. They were not there for you. You know, they were hard on you. And so you have to honor them, and you honor them by acknowledging that they're your parents. You take care of them, you bless them, and, you know, you work with them. You know, you honor them. That's extremely important. Then he says, you shall not murder. That's why abortion is wrong. I think I talked about this before. You know, abortion is murder. We use the term abortion, so it's not when you use the term murder, it's just too harsh. You know, that's why our country is suffering. We're going through a chastisement, judgment of God right now. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because we're killing innocent babies in the womb. We're murdering innocent babies. We see the rise of violence, just like in the days of Noah, taking place, running throughout the land, throughout the world. He says, you shall not murder. You know, God hates murder. You know, and also, you know, the scripture even goes into the New Testament, talks about how the Bible says, if you hate your brother or your sister, you're a murderer. Ooh, that's even deeper, saints. Come on, somebody. That's even deeper. So we have to see if we're lining up just with these principles right here. It says you should not commit adultery. Adultery, there's spiritual adultery. Then there's natural adultery. And I'm saying that spiritual adultery takes place, you know, if you're in a marriage relationship and you find yourself in a relationship with another man, with another that's not your spouse, you're committing adultery. You also commit spiritual adultery when you begin to go after false religions and you turn away from serving the living God. We commit, do not commit adultery. Come on, somebody. A lot of marriages break up because of adultery, because one spouse cheats on the other spouse, and it opens up and it creates a deep wound, and the other spouse is so wounded, the family is torn apart. And one spouse is so torn that it damages them so to the point to where they have trust issues. So when they try to move forward into their lives with somebody else, they have trust issues. And they begin to project that on their new boyfriend, girlfriend. And because of those issues, and then it eventually will create problems in their marriage if they've not dealt with that. Some of you that are listening right now, you struggle with that because you were in a marriage relationship and your spouse cheated on you. And a lot of times when that happens, people have a spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness, and they need to forgive them for that transgression. You know, they perpetrate things on their lives because they went outside of the marriage and had a relationship with somebody else. And when they did that, it hurt the other person. It opened up a deep wound that needs to be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, those that have been in relationships to where their spouse has cheated on them, God, I pray that you would heal their hearts right now. I pray, Lord God, that you would heal the wound and that you would provide grace, that they would forgive their spouse that cheated on them and even forgive the person that they cheated with, that they would be free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for doing that right now in the name of Jesus. Then it says, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your brother or your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in your neighbor's. God says, don't be looking at how the Joneses are living. Be thankful and grateful for what you have, and do not be looking and say, ooh, I wish I had a wife like that. Ooh, I wish I had a husband like that. Ooh, I wish I had a car like them. Ooh, I wish I had a home like them. God says, don't covet that. In other words, be grateful and thankful for what you have and what you have in your life. And don't be lusting after what they have. Now you see, and when you begin to do all these other things, you begin to lust other things, it creates stress and anxiety in your life. And you don't have to have it because God wants you to walk in peace and he wants you to walk in victory. And then it goes into verse 18, saints. It says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off, scared the hell out of them. Yes, it did. I'm surprised people didn't drop dead. Oh, my God. Can you imagine God coming down on Pikes Peak or Mount Rainier? Ooh, the mountain shaking. There's an earthquake going on. God himself is making an appearance. And even with this, these people still were stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious. That's amazing. These people had an encounter with God. I mean, they had a mighty encounter. God thought enough for the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. That's why they're still the apple of God's eye. God said, I'm going to come down. I'm going to talk with you face to face. I'm going to meet with you so that you know that I'm God. And that's something that's powerful, saints. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. You know, it's just like the people in the congregation in the church. They say, okay, preacher, pastor, you go and hear from God, and you come back and tell us what God's saying, because we don't want to be in God's presence. We don't want to hear what God's got to say. So, preacher, whatever God say, you come back and tell us. But you see, when Jesus came and died for us on the cross at Calvary, it opened the door of fellowship for all people to just come, and we could come before God without dying, because we were able to come into his presence without dying because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross at Calvary. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. You know, when you look at the word sin, the word sin means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark, God's mark. And so God wanted to establish a holy fear and a holy reverence in his people so that they would not walk in disobedience and rebellion, so that they would be able to reap the rewards and reap the blessings that God has for them. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. You see, Moses had got accustomed to being in the presence of God. And I believe we need to get to the place that we are accustomed to being in the presence of God, that we are not afraid to go into that secret place to meet with God and to experience God's presence. I believe that's what we're missing in the body of Christ today. We are truly missing the presence of God in our congregations. We're missing, we don't have enough of the presence of God in our lives. And we can get it because God wants to give it to us. God wants to meet with us. God wants to reveal himself to us. God wants to have a relationship with us, with you. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of the earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice it on your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, and in every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it out of hewn stone, for if you use it, your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by the steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. God says, okay, these are certain conditions, and if you bring your offers, I want to bless you. And when God was communicating and telling his people, these are my words, these are my laws, these are my statutes, and these are the things that I need you to do in order for you to understand who I am so that we can have a very fruitful relationship. It's God's desire to heal you, to deliver you, to restore you, to bring you into a covenant relationship with you. He sent his son to die for you, that not one person should have to die and go to hell. There are people by the multitudes that are passing into eternity that don't know Jesus Christ. They've not been born again. They've not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There are many people who have died, who had their faith in their religion, in their denomination, but they were not in the same relationship with Christ. That's why I encourage you to pray for your family members that have not accepted him as Lord and Savior. Pray that God would touch their hearts, that their hearts would be open to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that they might be born again. Some of you that are listening, you need to commit your life to God. Some of you might be in a backslidden condition. All you got to do is repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm coming back home like the prodigal son, because God is waiting to receive you. God wants to receive you as his son, as his daughter. God wants to have a relationship with you. And think about this. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross at Calvary. You are redeemed. The power of sin has been broken over your life, and you can walk in the newness of life. You can walk in victory. You can walk in peace. You can walk in joy, and you can walk in power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus died for you on the cross at Calvary. Saints, be praying for me at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers. I need your financial support. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Return is imminent. Be praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be great and mighty in your life and in your leaders, and that we might experience revival. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Pastor Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, their address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. 7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word with Pastor Dermothy Lavelle.
The preceding program sponsored by Straight Word Christian Ministry.